All right, if you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of James, James chapter 1. And while you're turning there, let's go ahead and pray. James chapter 1, and we'll pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to look into the scriptures. And we pray that this morning, as we open our Bibles, that you would speak to our hearts. And I pray that everybody in this room will receive something from the Word of God today that will help us in our walk with you. And so guide us and direct us into the truth through the workings of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we also pray for Amanda as she gets close to her due date. We pray, Lord, that you just watch over her and that little baby. And we pray that there'd be no problems, no complications. Lord, we look forward to hearing wonderful reports of the birth of this little baby. Now, Lord, again, speak to our hearts in that way that only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, James chapter 1, we're going to be starting in verse 19 and read through verse 27. James 1. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. And here's an interesting term, superfluity of naughtiness. In 1611, when the King James Bible was written, superfluity of naughtiness meant excessively bad behavior. That's what that term means in our today, excessively bad behavior. You say, lay that aside, you know. And then it says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And of course, the glass is a reference to a mirror, looking into a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and go his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, a reference to the Bible, to the Word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I like to read from the book of James for a number of reasons. But one of the primary reasons I enjoy reading and preaching from this book is because it deals with where we live every day, probably more so than any other book in the New Testament. It is believed that the book of James may well be the earliest of the New Testament writers, written around the year 48 AD. And also, this book was written by one of the brothers of Jesus, one of Mary and Joseph's other boys who became a believer after the resurrection. And his brother James became one of the leaders in the church of Jerusalem. Now, if you've ever read through this small book of the Bible, you know that it covers many topics. But the one topic I want to bring your attention to this morning is found in verse 19, where it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And this is important. It's very important that we are quick to listen and slow to speak, because we're often judged by the way we talk and the way we listen. Now, when it comes to being a good listener, I want to show you two things this morning. First of all, let's talk about the subject of listening to man. Listening to man. I love the old saying that says, God gave us one mouth and two ears, proving that he intended for us to listen twice as much as we speak. Now, let me ask you a question, a rhetorical question. Are you a good listener? And the truth is, many folks are not good listeners. One time, a man challenged his wife with a riddle. And the man began, "You're the engineer of a train, and there are 36 people on board. At the first stop, 10 get off and 2 get on. At the next stop, no one gets off, but 5 get on. At the third stop, 4 get off and 2 get on." And he says, "Now, here's the question. What is the name of the engineer?" And his wife just snaps at him and says, "How in the world am I supposed to know the name of the engineer?" And he said, "See, you never listened to me. Right at the start, I said, you are the engineer of a train." Well, as we read here in James 1:19, it's let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And James emphasizes this because apparently there is a problem that people have with this. There's a problem in becoming a good listener. And it seems like the problem is that the instinct to talk is stronger than the instinct to listen. And I think we probably all know people who have this problem. They always have to dominate the conversation. There are just people like this that we run across, and most of the time, when we see them coming in our direction, we're looking for a door to get out of the room, right, with that type of person. I have to tell you, my family knows somebody that has an extreme problem with this, and it's funny. If we happen to see this person in a store, my kids start acting as a team. They're my little spies. And they spy out the land to make sure that I am never in the same aisle with this person, because they know that if this person sees me, he's going to hold me up for at least an hour in the store. So my kids act like a little spy team for me. Now, I hope that I'm not coming across as being rude, but to be honest, I don't like to be around people like that. Now, you know me. I love to have conversations with people. I just love to talk to people, but not with people who won't let you get a word in edgewise, right? That's not enjoyable for someone who has to just stand there and listen the whole time, right? So God's word clearly tells us that we should be swift to hear and slow to speak. And this is important, and I'll give you three reasons why it is important to learn to listen, to learn the art of listening. Three quick reasons. First, because listening shows love. By listening, we put aside our agenda. We take a break from what we're doing, and we give our attention to someone else. It's a form of love, and that kind of love forms good relationships. So listening shows love. And then also, listening shows care. Listening shows that you want to understand what the other person is thinking. Listening shows the other person that he or she counts for something to you, and it builds up your relationship. It shows that you really care about that person. And then third, listening shows respect. You know, if you've ever watched some of these conversations on television where two people are expressing their different viewpoints, what happens is one usually sits there and lets the other one express his viewpoint. But when the other person begins to express their point, their viewpoint, that first person just butts in and tries to override them as they talk. Well, why do they do that? It's because they have no respect for that other person. To them, their opinion on the subject is more important than the other person's opinion. To them, their opinion is the only one that counts. And they're not even the slightest bit interested in understanding the viewpoint of the other person. Well, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2, it says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but his heart, but that his heart may discover itself." In other words, in a conversation, the Bible tells us the fool is not seeking understanding. They don't have any respect for the truth or for the person that opposes them. And folks, we need to learn the art of listening when it comes to communicating with others. Because when we become a good listener, we show love, we show care, and we show respect. And that builds good relationships. So that's how we should listen to man. But as I said at the beginning, I want to talk to you about two things. Not just listening to man, but secondly, listening to God. Listening to God. It's important that we be a good listener when it comes to listening to people. But even more important is the need to be a good listener when it comes to listening to God. It's interesting, when Jesus was transfigured up on the mountain in Matthew chapter 17, God said this, Matthew 17, 5. He says, "While he yet spake," and that's a reference to a comment that Peter had just made. He says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" Hear ye him. In other words, listen to him. And let me tell you, what the world needs is less good talkers and more good listeners when it comes to listening to God. One time, an 80-year-old grandpa went to his daughter's house for Sunday dinner. And after the meal was over, he announced that he was going to take a walk through the neighborhood. And he said, "I'll be back in 20 minutes. But 2 hours passed before he finally returned. And when he was asked about it, he said this. He said, "I'm sorry I'm late, but I stopped to talk to an old friend, and he just wouldn't stop listening." Well, the Word of God talks about good listeners. And as a matter of fact, the Bible speaks of four different kinds of listeners in a parable in Matthew chapter 13. And as we look at these four, I want you to see if you can identify with any of them. So let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 and look at this for a moment. Matthew chapter 13, and we'll begin by reading the actual parable. Matthew 13, beginning in, and we'll start in verse 3. It says, "And he," of course this is Jesus speaking, "and he spake many things unto them in parables." So we're in verse 3 of chapter 13. "He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's the parable. But now let's consider the interpretation that Jesus gives. And let's look at these listeners individually. And the first thing we see is the hard-hearted listener. Jesus begins to give the interpretation of this parable in verse 18. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." And so here we have the hard-hearted listener. Now, I'm sure we've all met people who were hard-hearted listeners. With these folks, it's difficult to get something into their heads. It's kind of like the baseball game where the coach said to one of his young players, he said, "Do you understand what cooperation is?" And the little boy nodded his head and said, "Yep, I understand." He said, "Do you understand what a team is?" And the little boy nodded his head and said, "Yep, I understand." He said, "Do you understand that what matters is whether we win together as a team?" The little boy nodded his head and said, "Yep, I understand." And then the coach said this. He said, "Do you understand that when a strike is called and or you're out at first, you don't argue or cuss or attack the umpire? Do you understand all that?" And the little boy nodded his head and said, "Yep, I understand." And then the coach said, "Good. Now go over there and try to explain that to your mother sitting in the bleachers." Well, every preacher knows what it is to preach the word of God to the same people, sometimes for decades, and yet have some of them never grow spiritually. And what's the problem? They attend church every Sunday, but the reason they never grow spiritually is because they listen to the sermons, but they're so hard-hearted that every word that is spoken bounces off of them. The problem is they are hard-hearted listeners. They really don't care what the Word of God has to say on any particular subject. They come to church just because it's the thing to do. They do not come so that God can speak to them. And it doesn't matter how clearly the Word of God is preached to them. Some folks are not going to listen to what the Word of God tells them, and it's because they are hard-hearted to God and His Word. So that's the first type of listener Jesus talks about, the hard-hearted listener. Now, the second type of listener is the shallow-hearted listener. Look at verses 20 and 21. It says, "But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word of God, and anon," the word anon is an old English word for occasionally, "with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Okay. Now, notice the shallow-hearted listener doesn't have any staying power. They're quick to believe and receive and rejoice when they hear the word of God, but they don't stay with the program. The shallow-hearted listener is a big disappointment to God and to God's people. They will attend a Bible-preaching church, and they get all excited, and they get involved, and people begin to have confidence in them. And then when everyone seems to have a little confidence in them, they fall by the wayside, and you never see them again. And that's devastating to God's people. This person that they had confidence in has disappointed them greatly. And how did it happen? This person was a shallow-hearted listener. That is, they had no spiritual roots to sustain them. And there are many of these hearers in the house of God. These people remind me of the guy who used to be the coach at the University of South Carolina. Now, I won't name his name in church this morning. If you want to know, I'll tell you afterwards. But when the season was going great and getting a lot of attention, he was all excited. But in the midst of a football season, when things were not going so great, he just up and quit. He just up and quit. Now, I'm sure he had his reasons, but a coach doesn't do that to his players. He doesn't do that to the fans. He doesn't do that to the school. Where's his loyalty? If he really loved his team, he wouldn't have done that. At least I don't think so. Well, the reason people don't have any loyalty to God's to God or to God's house or to God's people or to God's word is because they have no roots in their life. Have you ever heard the story of the famous dog named Hachiko from Japan? This was an amazing story. This dog would follow his master to the train station every single morning. And then the dog would walk back home. And then in the evening, he'd walk back to the train station and meet his owner every evening at the train station. Now, they made an Americanized version of this. In the Americanized version, he's Hachi, not Hachiko. It starred Richard Gere, the famous actor Richard Gere. It was actually filmed in Woonsocket. At the train station in the center of Woonsocket. If you go to Woonsocket, you'll see in the front of the train station a statue of a dog. Well, that's Hachiko. Anyway, they made this movie. But Hachiko, as I said, would go with his owner to the train station every morning, then go home, and then come back in the evening and meet his owner there. But one night in 1925, that man did not return, because during the day, he had passed away in another city. But the amazing thing of the story is that for over 10 years after that, that little dog went to that train station every single night, sadly trotting home after about an hour. And the faithfulness of Hachiko so impressed the nation of Japan that the government there erected a statue of the dog on the spot where he perseveringly waited all those years. Now you say, Pastor, why are you telling us that story in church this morning? It's because it's a shame that we humans are not as faithful to God as some dogs are to their masters. The shallow-hearted listener does not allow the Word of God to penetrate his heart. And at the first sign of any trouble or any difficulty, he quits. He quits on his faith. He quits on the church. Why? Because he is a shallow-hearted listener. Now, the third type of listener is the clutter-hearted listener. Verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The clutter-hearted listener has cluttered his heart with the things of the world. Have you ever tried listening to someone on the telephone, but there was so much surrounding noise that it made it next to impossible to hear them. With seven of us in my home, it is always noisy. It is always noisy. And so when I'm about to make a phone call, I have to make an announcement. I'm on the phone to get everybody to quiet down so I can actually hear the person that I'm talking to. Well, you know, that's the way it worked with the cluttered-hearted listeners. Their life is so packed with the things of the world that they don't have any room in their life for God. They have no time for Him, no time to listen to Him. The things of the world blast out the things of God. That's the clutter-hearted listener. And then fourth and finally, there is the good-hearted listener. In verse 23, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. The good-hearted listener hears the word, understands it, responds to it, obeys it, and bears fruit. I heard someone one time say that the gauge of a good sermon is when a person leaves church not saying what a good sermon that was, but saying, I'm going to do something because of that sermon. And that's the good-hearted listener, the good-hearted listener. Now, I've mentioned the four kinds of listeners, and I asked you to think about, you know, what type of listener you might be. But as we close this morning, I want to close by pointing out to you one of the most important things that Mary, the mother of Jesus, the most important piece of advice that Mary, the mother of Jesus, ever gave anyone. And it's just as important for us today. So if you take your Bible, please, one more time and turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 2. Here's some great advice. Beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 2. "And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants," now get this, "whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now there's some good advice. Whatsoever Jesus says, do it. Whatever you hear him say, do it. Do it. And that's exactly what James is telling us in James chapter 1, as we read earlier, beginning in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man, like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The good-hearted listener sees himself in the mirror of God's word, and he doesn't like what he sees. And consequently, he does something to change that image. He listens to the word of God, and he does something about it. He responds to it. He turns from sinful behavior, and he adds to his life godly behavior, and he brings his life in line with the word of God. Now, listen. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're not sure that all your sins are forgiven, and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, I'm talking about 100% sure, then listening to the Word of God and responding to the Word of God, that's your greatest need. That's your greatest need. Because Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. And what he's saying to you is recorded in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." And so if you're not sure you're saved, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart this morning. And the question is, will you listen to the knocking and respond to the knocking by opening the door and inviting him in? There is no other way of forgiveness. There is no other way of eternal life. There is no other way for an entrance into heaven. There is no other way to become part of the family of God. You need to listen to the knocking, and you need to respond to the knocking by opening up your heart, by calling out to Christ and inviting him to come into your heart to be your Savior and your Lord. Again, I'll remind you the words of Jesus: "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you've instructed us how important it is to be a good listener to your Word and to take your Word and apply it to our lives. Lord, we want to be good-hearted listeners, not hard-hearted, not clutter-heart. We want to be good-hearted listeners where we receive the Word of God and then we take and we use it in our lives so that our lives can be what you want them to be. And so help us as your people to do that. Help us to be good students of the Bible, but help us to be doers of the Word as well. And then, Lord, we do pray that if there's anybody here today who does not know Christ in a personal way, they've never called out to him, they've never opened the door and invited him into their heart and life, I pray that today they would see this to be their greatest need, and that before they leave here today, they will call out to Christ and receive him as their Savior and Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.